For almost 40 years, Victim Support Service has been providing specialist support to people affected by crime and family and domestic abuse. Caroline Holstrom was recently appointed the organisation's chief executive, and she joins us live in studio. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
My pleasure.
For those of us who may not be familiar with Victim Support Service's work, can you describe in a bit more detail what the organisation does?
I certainly can. There's several different kinds of things that VSS does, but historically it came out of the Truro murders, and so we've been a grassroots organisation and volunteer-led.
Now, some people mightn't be old enough to remember the Truro murders. Can you give a really quick glimpse into what ugliness surrounded that?
I certainly can. And just to also warn people that might be triggered by this kind of conversation as well. So the Truro murders was a young gentleman and his sidekick, for want of a better word, who preyed on young women in Adelaide and essentially raped and murdered them. And then they were buried out at Truro and found out there. So there were a lot of people, as you can imagine, who were affected by that, and they banded together, realising that as victims there didn't have a place in the criminal justice system.
They came together?
Yes.
They recognised that there was no spot for them. What did they do about it?
They literally pulled themselves together into an organisation that started to help people to understand what was going to happen inside the criminal justice system. There's a real difference between what a victim is and does and feels and what the criminal justice and how they behave. So criminal justice system, in my very quick estimation, is very much about looking at the community as the victim, not as at people as being victims. And because of that, they protect evidence in a particular way, and they treat people who have been actually impacted by the crime in a different way. So it's about a matter of trying to bring those two things together so that we have justice for all.
And of course the investigators have a particular role that they are playing, and their interest is in collecting evidence around crimes to try and establish who it was that was responsible. And I presume, and in all sorts of ways, the people who might be charged with criminal activities also get assistance, but in many instances the people who might have been the victims in the circumstance don't necessarily get any assistance or support at all, do they?
No, and for many years we didn't even have victim impact statements. So it's all about trying to get that voice back into the justice system.
So 40 years down the track, I'm sure that there's been all sorts of issues that have arisen over time, but what are the big things that the support service is looking at right at the moment? What are some of the big strategic issues that you're kind of challenged by?
There are several, but just going back to what Bonnie was asking about in terms of what we do, what our services look like and where they might go, so we'll try and combine them. So we have a counselling service that is free and can be accessed by anyone who's been touched by crime. So the crime does not even have to have been reported. It is simply a counselling service to ensure that people get the assistance they need to work through their trauma.
And if people wanted to ring that service, they just ring?
Yep, 1-800-VICTIM, which I don't like, but I can't remember the number right off the top of my head. But if you use that way of remembering it, that's easiest, yep, we find. In terms of what that looks like, we also have a service around domestic violence and called Staying Home, Staying Safe. That keeps people, women and their children and often their pets as well, because that is often an issue for people not leaving relationships, within the home that they're in, and removes the perpetrator.
That's a big and important change, isn't it? In lots of instances, historically, what happens is that if women, or, you know, it doesn't have to be women, but it mostly is, 98% of the time, if women are in a situation where they're subject to domestic violence, often it's them that end up leaving the premises. Now, this service is really geared to trying to help women stay where they are and to help move the person that's been responsible for the violence to move elsewhere.
Absolutely. And so that's about providing a more secure environment so that they can stay there knowing that they're safe.
So people would be feeling fairly anxious in those contexts. What kinds of things do people need in order to be reassured that they're going to be safe to stay?
We start the process by doing a bit of an audit to find out how dangerous it is for them. And then we work through a safety plan with them so they can think through consequences and the behaviours of the perpetrator. Then we'll do things like changing locks. We provide women with new phones because we find that perpetrators often will destroy phones in order to gain control. And we'll have a separate number that the perpetrator won't have access to. So that's always very handy. We do things like security doors. So really it's about getting the perimeters of the place as safe as it possibly can be. And like I said, you know, sometimes people have intervention orders out against them, but that doesn't necessarily stop them.
No.
So this is one step on from that.
Has that been a service that's been well received?
Very well received. We grow every year by 6 to 7%. It's a busy world.
And is that a reflection of the growth of domestic violence, or is that a reflection of the growth in the knowledge about the service and interest in taking advantage of it?
I'd say that it's twofold. So I think it is knowledge of the service. And I'm not sure that there's been a growth in domestic violence. I think there's growth in reporting and understanding and awareness of domestic violence. So within the counselling service, figures there for domestic violence sit around 40% as well. So definitely that's a huge area and where we spend a lot of our time.
Okay, so we've got the counselling service, we've got the support for people to stay safe in their own home in a context of domestic violence. What else is the service doing?
The other part of our service is around the redress scheme. So it's about the Royal Commission's findings and how we help people counselled through the Royal Commission, but also now as we're walking towards it being delivered, how we help people go through the application process. So the application process is not simple, and it's certainly one of those things that can trigger traumatisation, as you can imagine, re-traumatisation. So it's a hand-in-hand, really, with our counselling service, and most of our counselling service will touch up against that at some stage as well.
The counselling service was pretty busy through the period of the Royal Commission, and the Royal Commission, of course, extended over a number of years, but it was wound up 6 months ago now, maybe even a little longer than that. But, of course, this is the next step, isn't it? This is where the state governments and some of the other institutions, so the church, some of the church-based organisations have agreed to provide redress to some of the people that have been subject to the violence and nastiness of the institutional experience, in particular the sexual abuse that was perpetrated in that context. And the service is going to be hopefully able to support people to walk their way through making applications to prove that they are appropriate people to be provided with redress through the scheme. Is that essentially it?
That is essentially it. There's three parts to the redress scheme. So there's a financial contribution, and it is only for sexual abuse. Then there's also an opportunity for people to make an apology. If they would like a direct apology, they can. Our experience has told us that that's not often the case, but it is definitely there for on the table for them. And in this state, we've got a payment for counselling as well.
How will that service unfold? I think we're still waiting at the moment to hear who, in fact, is going to be authorised to provide that support. Is that right?
That's right. So there was a closed tender for that process, and we're just waiting to find out what's going on with that.
Do we have any sense when that's likely to be, the announcements around that are likely to be?
We thought that they might have already been made.
Okay.
So we can only say soon.
Yeah. So, and is that in the hands of the Attorney General? Is that the decision-making authority in this context, or is it somewhere else?
No, that will sit with someone else. Yeah. So the program is the Attorney General's program, essentially. Yeah. But that decision's being made through other means.
So is there anything else that the Victim Support Service does?
They're our major programs. We also do have a volunteer program called Court Companions, and that goes back to that grassroots that we were talking about. And we have a smallish team of volunteers who will walk people through what to expect when they enter the criminal justice system, and that includes children who are witnesses, and they will also attend court with people through the trial process, which is time-consuming and quite frustrating for people when things are delayed or held over, etc. So they are really put their heart and soul into this part of the business.
Yeah, it's a very interesting role. My mother, in fact, was one of the volunteers probably 3.5 decades ago, maybe longer. Oh. So one of the early volunteers in that program, and it was always interesting hearing her reaction to sitting with people and supporting them through the process, and to reflect on how challenging an environment that was for people who were victimised and traumatised in that process.
So. And I certainly, that's a part of where I'm looking, is our volunteer program more generally, to see what we can offer people. The Court Companion program is really such a success, and we see it all the time, that it makes me wonder, you know, what else we might be able to do.
Caroline, you kind of ended up in your role, as we were saying off air, that it was almost accidental. You were asked to come in for a very temporary stint, and you ended up staying. What shifted? What made you more interested and interested in the idea of helping advance the organisation into the future?
I guess I've always had a social justice focus in my life, and this was an area that I really hadn't given much thought to be perfectly honest. But it's a good organisation, it does incredible work, and I just really couldn't in good conscience walk away from it.
What's your background? What made you interested in social justice and made you a bit of a social justice warrior?
I would say it's definitely my schooling. So I was at St Aloysius. We had Sister Pak Poy, who was a social justice warrior par excellence. And so that certainly was part of my way of thinking. When I went on into university, my background's in anthropology, so I have a very great interest in how cultures work to create places and people around them, and that certainly has taken me through lots of different things, corporate world, etc., looking at how organisations actually behave, where their social conscience sits. It often ends up being the social conscience of the planet seems to sit in the not-for-profit sector, so it's been the natural draw for me. And then the last 3 years before I came into VSS, I was doing consulting work with disability organisations, especially around the NDIA and the NDIS. And so this kind of came as a sort of a funny fit. But when you think about the amount of abuse that goes on for people with disability, there's a crossover there that was pretty interesting for me.
Mm. And of course, so many of the people who were victims of institutional abuse were people who live with disability.
Absolutely.
Very tragically. So if we're talking to you in 3-5 years' time, you've been at the helm, you're thinking about, you know, what the organisation... Now, this might be unfair, but...
A little bit, maybe.
I'm going to ask you anyway. What do you hope that the organisation might be doing, and what do you hope might have changed in 3 or 5 years?
Okay, social warrior hat on, is I actually really want us to use the word victim differently. I actually want us to think about it. It has value within the criminal justice system, and I don't think we can ignore that. But what I would like to see attached to it is a different sense of what a victim is. So we use that victor-survivor kind of slash, and I don't know that that's useful. So in terms of what people think of when they think victim within the criminal justice system, I'd like that to be thought of differently. It sounds little, but it's quite a big change.
Well, and profoundly important from a perspective of where people see themselves as having any power.
Absolutely.
And of course, the one of the issues of being seen as a victim is that you have no power or authority in your life. And
yeah,
it's a really challenging space to be left in.
Mm.
So that's one. Have you got another one?
I'd like VSS to be looking really more seriously about the breadth of what a victim is as well. So I think we need to, I'd like to spend some time in that disability space a bit more. And I'm really interested in the elder abuse issue as well. So we talk about elder abuse, but we don't necessarily relate that to being a victim of crime. And I'd really like to see people understanding that it isn't just abuse, it is a crime.
Well, there's some good and challenging issues to, you know, get wrapped up in 3 to 5 years if you can take care of those. I'm sure there's a host of us that will be delighted that we're very pleased to have had the chance to have you in the studio tonight. Good to hear that you're at the helm, and we wish you the best of luck as you pursue trying to bring the service along to a whole new stage in its career.
Thank you, but I'd also like to thank you for your fantastic report that you do that sums up the budget. It saves us so much work.
We love the fact that someone actually loves it.
Caroline Holstrom, Chief Executive of Victim Support Service, thank you for joining us. And for more information about their services, visit victimsa.org.